Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
And how's your week been in general?
Yeah, it works. It's always a bit of a drag. Just yeah, it's not particularly enjoyable.
No, well, I suppose that's what work is. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, I think there are a few people who have sort of ended up doing something that they actually enjoy some elements of, maybe not all of it.
Yeah.
So fair play to those people.
Yeah, but when people say like find something you love and you never have to work a day in your life, I think if I found something I loved that I wanted to do, I like even when I was football coaching, I thought I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I think that now, I'd still, if you do something and you call it work, then I think I'd still dislike it, falling out with my work all the time at the moment, just doing too many hours and like just a bit like Groundhog Day at the moment, because we've only got the one guy there who likes doing the same thing. So it's just, you know, is what it is. Just got to make more time of like more of the time you're not at work. I've had the last 2 days yeah. off, and then I think I've watched 6 movies.
I was saying to Emma. Hey, you still sort of watch things because you feel you need to sort of see what it's all about. Like I will only watch things that I think I'm going to like, whereas you'll sometimes yeah. watch things, no, might not be for you, but it's like, well, no, this is a film that's kind of out and new and current and in the news, so I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
and see what it's all about. You're much more of a movie person than me. You're like a huge film fan in comparison to
yeah,
me.
I try to get in a few a week, and then like if Zoe's about, I'll try and find a film that we can watch together. So we watched Spencer the other day about Princess Diana's story of yeah, that was a hard watch, wasn't particularly great, but yeah, interesting story.
When you said Spencer then, I thought Mark Wahlberg for some reason.
Yeah. What else did I watch this week? I watched 17 again because I've never seen it and it was on Netflix. I thought I'll probably enjoy that.
Is that Matthew Perry?
Matthew Perry yeah. turns into Zac Efron, yeah, as you would expect. What did I watch? Sorry, I watched Creations.
Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Yeah, not Judge Rinder and Fred Savage, but yeah, I watched Creation Stories today. That kind of Alan McGee kind of film about the
right.
Yeah, so that was watchable, a bit like 24-hour Party People kind of thing. But yeah, okay. It's more about him. I wanted it to be more about Oasis, really. But yeah, Oasis were. In it minimally, but yeah. But no, I don't
were,
know.
Were any anyone famous in it?
Yeah, I can't remember the name. He plays Spud in Trainspotting. He plays Alan McGee.
Oh, Ewan Bremner.
That's the fella. Yeah, he was very good in it. And I watched something else today as well. Death on the Nile, which was all famous people. So
yeah,
Kenneth Branagh was Poirot. And then like French and Saunders are in it, Russell Brand, Gal Gadot, Arnie Hammer. Yeah, it was like littered with celebrities and it weren't that great. It's still kind of like there's a murder and we're going to solve it. It's not like, and the problem with these kind of films now is you know there's a twist and you know it's not the obvious person who's done it. And so you just kind of, well, it's probably going to be the person you least expect because that's the only twist they'll have.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was.
You're saying like literally celebrities. I was just thinking earlier, it popped into my head and I thought sometimes it's just something to kind of bring up on this that just sort of leads us off onto yeah. other things. Working in London so much, you do gradually see people, you know, because you're going yeah. to a big, the chance of seeing sort of famous people. Mm. But the broad range of just general kind of celebrities that I've seen just on my days about town.
Yeah,
I wouldn't remember them all off the top of my head because sometimes you kind of forget about them and then it's like 6 months later you're like, oh, I saw him in the tube.
Yeah,
it was prompted by seeing Mike Wozniak, the comedian, you know, who's
yeah,
in
big moustache in Man Up, yeah. Man Down.
Yeah, so I saw him and then that remark, and then a few days later I saw Jamie Redknapp.
Right.
Then I started thinking, I wonder, like, if I could recount all the other ones. So, Kirsty Allsop, you know, location, location,
yeah.
location. Martin okay. Lewis, the mind saving expert.
Yeah.
Giles Brandreth. Simon Day. Far show, Simon Day.
Yeah, that's probably the best one you've said. That's like the worst pantomime I've ever heard.
The best one is The best, yeah, the best one's Tony Adams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at King's Cross Station.
Oh, no, no, Paddington it was. But okay. Yeah, just like a brief encounter. And who was the one I saw that I wasn't sure? Oh, it's David Schneider is his name. Plays Tony Hares.
I've bumped into him live as well. He was cycling as I was crossing a zebra crossing. And then I didn't say anything because you think, you know, you in your head, you want to just point and say, shout something. But I sat next to Kevin Eldon on the train once. I think that's the most starstruck I've been. Even though we did bump into Al Pacino in New York, I still was like more starstruck at Kevin Eldon. I'm like we said talked before. I'm one of those people that would just go up and say something because I'll regret not saying something. But yeah, I'm well, obviously living in the Forest of Dean, not too many famous people to bump into.
No.
But yeah, I've enjoyed a couple of days off, actually. Went back to Welling Garden, which for Mother's Day, which was nice to see my mum. Didn't see many other people, which was a little bit disappointing because you just want to see everyone in one kind of hit, don't you? And then I invited a load of people out and no one came out and I got all kind of upset about it. And then I'm kind of over it now, to be honest. I think it'll be a while before I go back again. I just think should be a bigger deal that I'm coming back and I'm probably overthinking everything. You know what I'm like, overthinking everything all the time. But yeah, nice to see my mum, nice to see my granddad. And I got my mum, because I got a lift back with Sean, right? Sean Rainforth come to see me and then went back and I got her to kind of give me a world tour of Welling Garden. Like, oh, just drive past drive past my old house kind of thing. And I really enjoyed it. Happy to be home at the end of it.
Always
back playing golf and back seeing Zoe and the cats. And I don't realise how much I miss the cats until I get back. They couldn't give a fuck, which is annoying.
Well, that is one of their traits, I suppose, isn't it? I don't dislike like cats or dogs. I'm allergic to cats.
Yeah. Also watched The Bubble this week, which is on Netflix. Which is another littered with stars monstrosity about them trying to film a film during lockdown. And it's got like Keegan-Michael Key and Daisy Ridley, Benedict Cumberbatch, David Duchovny, Karen Gillan and Leslie Mann, Gus Kahn. Gus Kahn, I don't mind.
Yeah, I like Gus Kahn. Yeah.
Peter Serafinowicz and James McAvoy, like literally John Cena. Yeah. It was like a lot of stars in it. And it was really bad. Well, I think the more stars you have in a film, probably the worse it's going to be now.
Are you completely away from wrestling now, or do you still dip in for the big things?
It was WrestleMania this weekend, actually. And No, I haven't watched more than a minute of it. I know the results and stuff because I still speak to Ross, my mate, about wrestling and stuff. But yeah, I wanted to know who won the big match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. And then when I found out, I was like, I am pretty much done with it now, unfortunately. Stuff is disappearing. Not daily, but it's disappearing. But yeah, I'm much more like golf has really just taken over my life. So I'm playing in a lot of tournaments, signed up for a lot of tournaments. Actually, we've got a new listener to our podcast, my new mate John, who I've been playing golf with. And he started listening. Not a lot of feedback from him, but he's earning, I don't know, it's like.
Do we need to do a golf episode?
Yeah, or one on ex-policeman, yeah.
Otherwise known as Happy Gilmore special.
He's a really nice bloke, actually. And it's weird, like, making new friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never had to. You just kind of grow up with friends, don't you? And then it's kind of, and I really get on with this bloke, and he's really, really nice. And I'm like, I don't know why I haven't put myself out there more to make more new friends rather than, you know, keeping everyone almost at arm's length. But yeah, long may it continue. So yeah, I said I'd chat him out on this podcast. Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Yeah.
I listened, I'm well behind still on Distant Pod, but I listened to one the other day where they chose a clip that I'm sure you've seen before that, even though I really like that podcast, a lot of the time I've seen the clips already.
Yeah.
So I know what they're talking about. And then a lot of the time it's about something that doesn't really interest me, even though I like their take on it. Like if it's rugby or something, I'm just like, I'll just listen to the talk. But they showed a clip of Jack Nicklaus talking to someone about doing a putt and like saying you putt that, and he's like, the guy was saying, nah, you can't, and he goes, I'll show you, just walks over and just
doesn't even take two looks at it, does he? Just whacks up the hill and then kind of walks away with a like, of course that goes in. But yeah, Yeah, so like Jack Nicklaus's handicap, it's like plus two or something, plus five. And he is younger than Donald Trump, who says his handicap is scratch. Like, it's just like, there's no way it is, if you know what I mean. I read this book about how Donald Trump cheats while playing golf. And it's just it's just brilliant. Like, so he's the club champion at all his golf courses that he owns. So what he does when the course is built, he plays the first round and goes, I'm the club champ. Just utter madness. But like, yeah, there's I saw a video clip of him once driving on the green in a buggy. And I think that's like the biggest no-no. You'd get banned from every course in the country for doing that.
Kind of thing.
But yeah.
Something, I don't know if it was just I saw it recently or it was actually happened recently, but a clip of him being filmed approaching the hole.
Yeah.
But no shot had been shown. It just showed him walking up to the hole claiming that, oh, I've just hit this off the tee. We think it went in. Yeah. And he just films the ball in the hole and he's like, yep, just like I thought, hole in one.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
How can you have been a president of America and still think, I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's I'm going to impress people by saying I got a hole in one when I didn't.
Yeah, but Kim Jong-un, he said that he went round a golf course in 18. Like, just how do people, like, surely everyone in the country, and there can't be one person in the country that goes, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, we were talking about patron saints the other day, because I think it was St David's Day, and it's just brilliant, like the story of like the lies that these people must come up with to become saints, because they have to perform miracles. And then, like, so St. George famously killed a dragon. And then St. Patrick, do you know what his miracle was?
Well, is it chasing all the snakes out of Ireland?
Yes. And also chasing out any evidence of there ever being a snake in Ireland as well.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
And then St. David, he just kind of spread the Catholicism around Wales. And then I think he was standing and a hill formed beneath him or something along those lines. I just don't think that's very saintly. I just and then, I think, someone who couldn't walk could walk, and someone who was blind. I think he resurrected a child or something as well. Like, you know, fair play. But I think if you, I don't want to get too deep into like religion and stuff, but say, I think someone told me a story and then I kind of went, oh yeah, that makes more sense. So like, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, where he fed the 5,000 with five loaves and six fishes or whatever, you know, he probably said like, oh, is anyone hungry? And then somebody went, oh, well, yeah, actually, I've got some fish on me. I'm like, oh, I've got some bread. So he actually, just from his kind of asking, probably fed all those people. But you kind of, when it gets told story to story,
yeah,
he actually provided all bread and fish. Like, just think, yeah, it's actually probably a better way of looking at it. It's funny how those stories travel. I just imagine in 2,000 more years' time when these stories are like passed on again, it's like madness.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, now I suppose it's different now though, because the way that they're passed on has changed. They're just recorded in a different way. So anything that happens now, people will just see it.
Yeah.
Happen, unless someone comes in and says enough of all of this sharing and viewing and video and stuff, and just wipes everything. So start again. If they did that, they can you keep the Johnny Vaughan, Sean Locke, and you can wipe everything else.
Yeah, because that probably, like, if you like, so Donald Trump become president of America, and he was basically just a TV presenter. People would be like, and then if you looked onto the internet about it, you'd have so much pro him that you'd probably go, "Oh, he might have been all right." Yeah. I remember speaking to someone once at the football club, and they were kind of pro Trump because he gets stuff done. And I just was like, I thought you were all right. Like, I just can't believe you'd have that opinion. Right. So this week we are on season 2, episode 12, I believe, maybe 13, but probably 12. I think it's episode 46 in total. We are up to 2,449 viewers or listeners. So yeah, that's going well. And a bit of feedback Sean and Naomi have been in contact with what they would like podcasts on. So thank you for getting in touch, and our two people that I know that listen. I put a picture of Chris Rock on Instagram. saying, what should we do a pod on this week, with kind of Chris Rock shrugging. And Sean put, greatest sporting comebacks. And Naomi would like an episode on either Jonah Hill or Steve Coogan and Judy Walters, Martin Lawrence, Bill Murray, Billy Connolly's Mike Myers. Maybe we could just do one on all those things.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, there's some good ones. Yeah, yeah, there's a few of them. There are a few of them I'd struggle with a little bit more.
Bill Murray playing Pebble Beach golf. That's brilliant. Have you ever seen like his highlights of him playing golf?
No.
Oh, there's some like a woman tries to shake his hand and he just grabs hold of her and keeps trying to drag her like over the, like, the barrier and stuff. Oh, he starts dancing with this woman in a bunker and she falls over and it's all a bit awkward. And then he's actually a really good golfer as well, but he's playing in like an Elmer Fudd hat. Yeah. Yeah, I love Bill Murray.
I heard for the first time fairly recently, like a Bill Murray story, when he just walked up to someone in a restaurant in Chicago or somewhere.
Stole their chips or something, yeah.
Yeah, stole their chips and then just looked at them and said, no one's going to believe you, and walked off.
We were on our way to a school trip once as teachers, and one of the women I was working with leant over this kid and went, oh, teacher tax, like pinched some fries. And as she walked away, I went, they're not our kids. Just from another school. Like, yeah, brilliant. I was the same teacher. It's Heidi Chilton actually did this. I tried to count, shouting at kids to get on the coach who weren't from our school. Yeah. Good job they didn't, really. I think they'd have had a good time, but yeah. Yeah, so we're going to do, after the, the spectacle of the Oscars the other week, we decided to do one on Chris Rock, I think in his favour. Not that he probably needs it from us, but I think we're both big fans of Chris Rock and it would kind of made sense to do one on him.
I suppose we could have done like a Chris Rock versus Will Smith, but it would have been hard because most of the clips would have been Chris Rock, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think if I was going to choose a Will Smith clip, it would have been the dance off at the end of the film Hitch. It's the best thing he's ever done.
The bit in Bad Boys 2 where the boyfriend comes to the front door is
funny. Yeah, that's quite good.
I think that's really good. But yeah, I'm not definitely not anti Will Smith, but when this happened, I found myself sort of watching Chris Rock videos.
Yeah. Right, so I'm going to play this video first before we talk about the on our opinions on, let's call it, the slap of this video, okay?
Afro Circus, polka dot, polka dot, everybody in the house tonight.
Really?
I mean, if I can be honest, about 90 days ago, it wasn't the focus of the movie. Animated movies go through a lot of incarnations, more so than normal movies, because they can do anything they want to them. They don't have to worry about actors' schedules or anything. My kids are into it. Put this way, I had to go read for my daughter's class a couple months ago, and after I finished Curious George, they all wanted me to sing the song.
I love it.
Fire in the hole.
Well, that was worth the price of admission.
My kids listen to all kinds of stuff.
Hey, my kids listen to your kids, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, 20th Century Girl.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right. So that is from the press tour for Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, where Chris Rock and Jada Pinkett Smith sit down and have a chat about their kids and their lives and stuff. And there is no way, I think, from that clip, you cannot say they are friends and that Chris Rock couldn't get away with a joke about her having short hair. Do you not think? It's mad that he's saying that my kids like your kids and this is our lives and this is what we do together and stuff. As they're in that whole Madagascar franchise, they've obviously spent a lot of time with each other and they obviously get on. So I think it's all madness, wasn't it?
Yeah. How old is that? Because I lose track of those animated films.
I couldn't tell you. Let's have a quick look. So that is from 2012.
Right.
So 10 years ago, I suppose. But do you reckon, I don't reckon a lot has happened in that 10 years. for her to get to a level where she would appreciate her husband attacking him.
No, because I think they would have either have continued to have known each other and engaged, or yeah, just not worked together and therefore not seen each other, so wouldn't have had the opportunity to have fallen out or anything. So he has whether it's banter or whatever you want to call it, he has had a go at her before related to the Oscars, because I remember hearing him a few years ago really laughing because she boycotted the Oscars.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
And he said that joke about her boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties.
Yeah. I wasn't invited. Yeah. yeah, but I think it all kind of maybe stemmed from that. But I think this is my opinion on it, is that Will Smith saw it as an amazing opportunity for him to look really great.
Yeah.
Like, and if it was someone on stage, like, having a go at homosexuals or trans people, and people went up and had a go at Chris Rock and said, this is no good, it's their kind of opportunity to look good to that community. And I think Will Smith went up and smacked him so he'd look good that he was protecting his wife in front of so many people. Mm. And I think there was no thought in his mind of protecting his wife. I think it was a lot of him wanting to look good. I don't know. What were your opinions on the whole thing?
Yeah, I thought that everyone's talking about this, like things like that being staged. So obviously the slap was real. But the bit when he sat down afterwards, I think maybe it's because he's an actor.
Yeah.
Is screaming, keep your name out of her mouth, out of your mouth thing, just sounded like an actor delivering a line.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all kind of ridiculous. And then I didn't like the kind of fallout from it of people saying he should have been ejected, he should have been arrested, he should have, you know, I think no one knew what to do in that situation, so they just did nothing.
JFW knew what to do.
Yeah, of course he fucking did. He wouldn't have allowed him to get up there. And then I liked what Jim Carrey was saying, you know, that video will be around forever, so he should sue Will Smith for $200 million. As he promoted Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Yeah. it's just a mad world, isn't it? Because I heard, I got a message from Naomi actually saying, I'm just watching this Chris Rock, Will Smith thing while I was in Welling Garden. So it's kind of, and then it's just been all that. And now, like this week, looking up Chris Rock clips, it's, you've got to actually put specific stuff in. If you just write Chris Rock into YouTube,
yeah,
probably 10,000 videos of what happened and people's like opinions on it. So yeah, we're not doing anything new tonight.
Well, we used it as a jumping off point into talking about stuff that we enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, I don't know, what would you call it? What did you call it a little while ago? It was a good choice of word, a spectacle.
Yeah, I think it's definitely
was. Yeah, good word.
And I thought Chris Rock dealt with it very well. Obviously, there was a little bit of awkwardness from him. And then, you know, what would you, I think I would have left the stage definitely and just gone kind of get on with it.
I don't know if it was the reaction and being a rabbit in the headlights or whether it was just his kind of comic genius coming out. But when he said, what, it was a G.I. Jane joke, I thought that was quite...
Yeah.
It wasn't a joke about you, it was a joke about G.I.
Jane. G.I.
Jane,
yeah.
What you're getting so fussy about.
Yeah, she can't it. Because it wasn't a great joke, to be fair, but it was just kind of, I think he just saw her and it was a bit of a throwaway kind of, well, if we move on to the next thing kind of.
And let's be honest, if someone approached Jada Pinkett Smith next week and offered her G.I. Jane 2, she'd be taking that.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yeah. If the hippopotamus in Madagascar doesn't call back, yeah, that's happening. absolutely stupid. And I think I'm 100% with Chris Rock. And I like the fact he came out on to do his tour and said, look, I will talk about it, but unfortunately I've already written this show. Yeah. So I'm going to just talk about that. But when I talk about the Will Smith thing, it will be funny and it will be serious. So, yeah. And then, like, one thing that made me a little bit sad about it is that they always kind of say the Oscars aren't enough about, like, black people, and the Oscars aren't enough about women and stuff. And, unfortunately, the almost, like, in the top five greatest black comedians of all time has been hit by one of the top five famous black entertainers of all time. And you just kind of like, I don't know, I just felt like it might have set back the Oscars a little bit as well. But I think the Oscars is too, like, shit anyway. I like the choice of films. I watch the Oscars because I think when they choose the films that are the best films, I think they're normally right in their choices. And then when they wouldn't let Kevin Hart host it and stuff, I just thought, oh, this is ridiculous. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Because I think the Oscars would be lucky to have someone like Kevin Hart do it.
Yeah.
And then,
was that because of tweets from 20 years earlier?
Homophobic. Yeah, homophobic tweets from when he was like 18 or something. Surely every famous person has gone back through their entire Twitter and got rid of these things. But they don't go away, do they? Because people screenshot them from 20 years ago and dig them up again. But yeah, it's shit in it, the world. During the night, I saw a clip. I'm not sure of the names. I know Wanda Sykes, Amy Schumer, and I wasn't sure of the other lady who was presenting, kind of made a joke about Will Smith and Jada's relationship, like saying she was getting COVID tests basically, and she invited like Bradley Cooper up on stage, like, I'm gonna have to do a COVID test on you with my tongue kind of thing. And then she invited Timothy Chalamet, and she went, oh, Javier Bardem, can you come up? Oh no, you've tested positive for married. And then she went, oh, Will, you've tested positive for marriage as well, but Jada said it's okay for you to come up. And he was kind of like, ha 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 ha, waving it off. I thought, that is a lot worse thing to say. But then, can you imagine Will Smith just going up and slapping her as well? Just going, keep your wife's name out of your fucking, Just
well, so what's the story behind that then? That they're kind of like a sham.
I'm not sure if it's a rumor or if it's true, but this is what I've heard, is that Jada kind of had an out of marriage affair, but then Will Smith was okay with it for her to be seeing other people. And she went, she was like dating this rapper, and the rapper kind of was really into her. And then she was stayed with Will Smith. Ian, I think it's quite well known that they're kind of open, that they have an open relationship, or she cheated basically. So right. I think him sticking up for her is kind of proving that they're also, that their marriage is strong as well, rather than, you know, he's just a mental case that goes around slapping little comedians. I haven't seen them King Richard either, because I've every clip I've seen of Serena Venus Williams's dad, I just thought he was a complete bellend. So I didn't look into the movie that much. So should we get on with some clips, or have you got anything to add? Can you tell I haven't spoke to anyone about it? let's go on. Let's start with one of my ones, and then we'll go to your ones because they're always better. Right.
Hey there, little Becky. Hey, Tiger. Hi, Jim. I'm Mrs. Ross. Mr. Ross, how are you? Delivery's in the back.
Excuse me?
You heard me. Delivery's in the back.
Why do you think I'm a messenger? No, really. Why do you just assume I'm a messenger? Is it impossible for me to have a friend that lives here? Would that be out of the question? To have an old college chum that lives upstairs, that I'm coming by to see, just to talk about old times, to have a little cocoa? Would that upset you? What's wrong? I can't have no cocoa? I don't look like I like cocoa? What's wrong with me just coming here trying to have some cocoa?
I'm sorry, sir. Who did you come here to see?
Nobody. Delivery for Charles Wellington.
Delivery's in the back.
So, I don't know, maybe when I was 18 or so, this film came out, Down to Earth, where Chris Rock is a bike messenger who is unfortunately hit by a car, but he's taken early, so by the angels, and he gets to choose what body he goes back into, and he goes back into the body of a white billionaire and still tries to live his dream of being a famous black comedian, which sounds worse than the film is. Have you seen Down to Earth? I really like it.
Yeah, I have seen it. I probably only saw it, I reckon I've seen it once, but then I've seen clips from it a few times because I've watched that bit before. I think when I watched that bit, I was actually looking for the bit when he goes into heaven and asks if Tupac's inside.
Tell Tupac I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just walks in. Tell Pac I'm here. And then the golf bit, obviously.
Tiger Woods, y'all. It's a stupid film, but quite entertaining. I've watched it probably more times than I probably should have. Thoroughly enjoyable. I like the way kind of Chris Rock transitioned from he was a good stand-up comedian, obviously. He was on that Saturday Night Live, and then he's gone on to actually be in some quite good films now. And there's too many people that have done that from Saturday Night Live.
CB4.
Yeah.
you seen that like recently?
No, but I feel like I want to now. Is it the bat when they're coming up with all different rap names, the Bagheads and stuff? The Bagheads. Yeah.
It's a spoof rockumentary based around like an NWA style group, isn't it? But very old, like early 90s, that would have been, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was around the same time of Don't Be Drinking Juice in the Hood when you're...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the whole name of it. But yeah, Chris Rock's in Beverly Hills Cop 2. Like for about 10 seconds as a valet at the Eddie Murphy's dumper truck. Yeah. And like, if you look through Chris Rock's...
Good answer. Good. That's when I saw Beverly Hills Cop 2 the most recent time and saw that bit and recognized that it was Chris Rock in it.
Yeah.
This shows how my mind works. I turned to Enema and I was like, that's a winning pointless answer.
Yeah. Because he's in a lot of kind of, I don't know, he's not in Barbershop, but you know, he's kind of in those kind of movies, isn't he? I can't remember the names of a lot of the films he's in now.
There was the one that's, well, not recent, relatively recent, Top Five, that I kind of remember enjoying. I watched that on a plane.
Yeah. I remember he had like a cameo roles in Dogma. He had a cameo role in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The Longest Yard he was in for a bit, but then I think Good Hair, Death at a Funeral. You seen that?
Oh, yeah, Death at a Funeral. He's in the Grown Ups. He's in Grown Ups, isn't he?
Yeah, Grown Ups 1 and 2.
The Grown Ups, New Jack City.
Yeah, and then Dolomite Is My Name. That was quite good as well. But I just love
it. Oh, I've not seen that yet.
Yeah, it's not too bad. With Eddie Murphy plays the part of this kind of, like, Andrew Dice Clay type comedian, but Dolomite. And he kind of changes the way that comedy works in for Black Americans. Yeah, it's not too bad. But yeah, he's been in some films, but I think his stand-up work is what stands out, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He held the belt, didn't he?
Yeah.
For a while. But, you know, these things do chop down. And, you know, recent years, me and you would have spent more recent years talking about Chappelle people and other people, but there was definitely a period where I could watch, when would it have been, around about 2008, I suppose, when like one of those, that Kill the Messenger special was out. So he had like the background, Kill the Messenger, Bigger and Blacker, Never Scared, and Bring the Pain, I think, the first one.
Bring the Pain.
Watch them over and over, like start on the first one, watch them, and then when I get to the end of the most recent one, just go back and just start over. I could just watch them over and over again.
Yeah, Bigger and Blacker was 99, Bring the Pain was 96, but his first one I don't think I've seen, Big Ass Jokes, 1994, Never Scared, Kill the Messenger, and then obviously Tambourine was quite recent, and then he'll probably have a new stand-up special from his coming tour, isn't he?
He's in the Royal Albert Hall soon, isn't he?
Yeah. I saw a great video of, like, there was a, you know, when you go up the escalator in the tube, there's a picture of Chris Rock and someone slapped it and said, take your fucking wife's name.
I saw that poster 2 days ago as I was going up the escalators and I just thought, someone's done that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But like, yeah. So have you seen the movie Top Five?
Yes.
So if Chris Rock was in the top five, like when you talk about belt holders of like Black comedians, who'd be the other four? If you think about it, one person we talk about is probably going to have to miss out.
True. So Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
And then another.
It's tough, isn't it? I'd like to get just two Chappelles in there, but you're probably looking at Kevin Hart, aren't you?
Yeah, I think Kevin Hart more recently. Now, I like Kevin Hart, but I've not seen, like, I've seen all of the Eddie Murphy sort of it, a lot of it, the more kind of well-renowned sort of stand-up specials, all the Chris Rock ones and Chappelle ones. Kevin Hart's the one I've seen the least of, so I can't sort of claim to be a fan, even though I like him. I can't. I've not seen. If someone said, "Oh, that bit in that one, or that bit in that one," I've just not seen them all of them or enough. No.
Kevin Hart tells this great story about he was playing at a comedy club, and Chris Rock walks in, and then he says, "How it works is kind of like a comedian. If you rate that comedian, says, oh, I'll watch you, and then they talk, and then you talk at the end and say, right." I can't tell this joke. It's not my sense of humor, what my crowd like. So I've written this joke for you. And then Kevin Hart did the same thing for Chris Rock when Chris Rock went up. And he goes, and then Dave Chappelle come in and they were really happy writing these jokes. And like, oh yeah, that'll work really well. And then Dave Chappelle did like 10 minutes and they both went, oh, why are we bothering? We are shit. Like, it's just the best ever. Like, yeah, madness. I do listen to Chappelle more than anything. Like, I got like, YouTube playing in the kitchen now. I've got one of those Alexa with a video kind of thing. So I find myself, if I get through a whole Chappelle stand-up special, then Zoe's probably getting a starter and a main and some baked goods at the end because like, I've been in there for too long. But yeah. Shall we go to some Chris Rock stand-up and then we'll kind of show you what we're kind of talking about.
You would think women would rule the world. But they don't. They don't. You know why? Because women hate women. Women hate women. You do. And you get any two girlfriends in this room, been girlfriends for 25 years, you put a man in between them, fuck that bitch. Fuck that bitch. Women hate women. Guys are not like that. Guys actually think there's other fish in the sea. If a guy introduces his boy to his new girlfriend, when they walk away, his boy goes, oh man, she's nice. I gotta get me a girl like that. If a woman introduces her new man to her girlfriend, when they walk away, her girlfriend goes, I gotta get him. And I will slit that bitch's throat to do it. Shit, every woman in here got a girlfriend they don't trust around their man. A good girlfriend, too. He's like, yeah, I'll go shopping with her, but I ain't going to leave that bitch with my man for 5 minutes, no.
Right, so women hate women. And then I think there's no way of saying women that slowly whilst watching these comedians without wanting to say, be shopping.
Yes, it's impossible.
Yeah. As I was looking up these videos today, I just watched women be shopping three times. Yeah. So why have you gone with that out of all of the Chris Rock clips you could have chosen?
I don't know. I just sometimes with these things, it's just one of the first ones that pops into your head sometimes. And then I sometimes think that'll be one of them. We usually pick two now, don't we?
Yeah.
So what I usually go with is one that immediately pops into my head and then one that I sort of find while I'm looking and while I'm sort of researching. Yeah. But I just, he's one of the best for, and obviously the audience and the people that go to watch him, the crowd reactions that you get, the rocking backwards and forwards, laughing. And you know, like the classic thing that people say that you see on like Live at the Apollo a lot, if like, you know, Jason Manford or someone's on and he'll do an observational bit about, you know, like the husband says this and the wife says that. And then the camera always cuts to the crowd.
Yeah.
And you'll see a husband and wife go, that's you. And it's always a bit sort of, they're always a bit naff and a bit middle of the road, but he's like saying things that are really kind of derogatory about people. When the camera goes onto him, they're absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
And I just... funny, it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, and like I think we avoided clips with because he does say the N-word obviously a lot, and
yeah,
we both avoided that just I think out of pure awkwardness more than anything. I don't know if it's if it's right for us to be playing clips with that in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think we have before, and I was going to cut it out, and I didn't, and I still, you know, luckily no one listens to us.
There's an element there of not knowing whether you should or not, because it's ultimately you are laughing. Like don't mind talking about it now.
Yeah,
the word as he uses it is a a full stop or a punctuation point to get a laugh, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then when you're advertising the fact that you're finding it funny, like we're both big repeaters of things that make us laugh, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
But not.
No,
not
there's,
that.
There's a great scene in The American Office where like they have to do diversity training because of Michael Scott, who's played by Steve Carell, does that, the famous, like the, if not the most famous bit of stand-up of all time, on the black people versus the N-word kind of thing. And Michael Scott retells it like terribly. and he, like, obviously he has to go through diversity training for that. But yeah, that is such a famous bit of stand-up, isn't it?
Yeah, there was, I messaged it to you, didn't I, saying like, where, what's your view on the N-word? Because initially a few of the clips that I remembered seeing, funnily enough, a couple of them weren't even, the main thrust of them wasn't that. Like there's a bit he does about Michael Jackson. So it's a Michael Jackson joke.
Yeah.
But again, the punchline, it's in there.
Mm.
he obviously knows that it's something that he says that's gonna
get off. And the sitcom he made, is it Everybody Hates Chris?
Yeah,
so it's about a kind of Chris Rock's childhood growing up, and he was trying to explain how he got the actor from for the sitcom on the David Letterman show. And he says to David Letterman, I was just driving past the Neville Arm Ranch, and there was this black kid naked running, going, help, help. Like, yeah, I think Chris Rock's one of the few people that can kind of get away with it, can't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, big, massive fan of his stand-up. I think he's brilliant. Right, should we go for another one?
Yeah,
I feel like we're rattling through them.
Hello? Hello? Phones, man. You get a call, they cut you off. You make a call, they cut you off. What's the point?
You know what they're doing, kid? They fuck you with cell phones. That's what it is. They're fucking you with the cell phone. They love when you get cut off. You know why? Huh? You know why? Because when you call back, which they know you're gonna do, they charge you for that fucking first minute again at that high rate.
If you're lucky enough to be able to call back, because the 3-hour battery you got only lasts for 20 fucking minutes.
Or what if you're behind a fucking hill and it's going...
Oh, you're going through a damn tunnel or some shit, man? And they keep making it smaller. You know why they make them this small? So you can lose them. Why? So you have to buy more phones. I never lost my mother's phone. Took you 2 hours to make a damn long distance call. Four. Five. Oh, I messed up. Hang up. Gotta do it again. Four. Five. I never lost my Sports Illustrated swimsuit phone.
And how about the fucking scanners? These idiots, they get your phone number and then they make calls all over the world.
Oh, somebody took my number.
What happened to you?
They called Afghanistan. Afghanistan. I don't know nobody in Afghanistan. I don't know what fucking Afghanistan looked like. And even if I did, I would not talk to that Afghan ass for 3 hours. I won't talk to my daddy for 3 hours.
They fuck you. They fuck you. They fuck you with the cell phones. Hey, you know what happens when you go to a drive-thru? They get you.
That is one of the best bits in any film ever. I just love it. I don't know if it's because when I first got a DVD player, there was very few DVDs out. And so I had Lethal Weapon 4, I think Contact, Enemy of the State, and something else. And I just had to watch those four films because that's all I had. And, you know, other than Contact, they're two good films. And I just loved Chris Rock in Lethal Weapon 4 because he's obviously dating... Murtaugh's daughter, and he's not allowed to, Murtaugh's not allowed to find out, kind of thing, so he has to hide it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely acting Joe Pesci off the screen there, isn't he?
Yeah. I suppose that would be, I mean, that could easily just be him on stage. That could be a bit, couldn't it?
Yeah,
the phone,
definitely.
The phone bit definitely feels like he's done that.
Yeah. I just love the way he says Afghanistan. Like, just so, like, so annoyed by it. Absolutely tearing. Joe Pesci just shreds it. Joe Pesci's brilliant in that movie as well. I just think it's an all-round really good film. I know we spoke about it a little bit in our action movies episode.
Yeah.
But, just kind of old versus new. And, you know, I like, you know, the kind of no-nonsense, like Mel Gibson in that film, plus the new style kind of kung fu of Jet Li. I think it's brilliant. It's one of the best action films ever. I love it.
And yeah, especially when you think usually like people being introduced like that is a kind of desperate move, isn't it? And it doesn't pay off. That did, because Joe Pesci was in it before, wasn't he? But then sort of like he was in it more and more. Was he only in, was he in three and then four?
Yeah, three and four. I can't really remember two, to be honest. I know it's like, I know, Goldie Hawn was in Bird on a Wire with Mel Gibson. I'll get that mixed up because it was at the same time as Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
But I remember in Lethal Weapon 2, like Mel Gibson falls into a swimming pool that has a cover on it. And I've always been scared of that from that movie, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think if you've ever seen a real swimming pool cover, that wouldn't happen because they're really thick. You'd always have to lie on it. That wraps around him, doesn't it? And it's like a shower curtain.
Just from that movie, I will never find out. Like, I'm genuinely scared of pool covers, which is niche.
Jackass boys.
So Chris Rock is throughout that film, and obviously he kind of helps out at the end and stuff, but is the kind of, he's supposed to be the comedic relief, I suppose, but he isn't in that movie, is he? I think he's kind of, I think Leon gets his, or Joe Pesci's character is the kind of like light relief in it. And Chris Rock plays quite a serious role in that, even though he does do some stand-up-y bits, like you say.
Yeah, because I suppose his character, the fact that he's trying to impress his potential future father-in-law, makes him a bit of a good, like a goody two-shoes. He's just trying to kind of trying to show that he's a good policeman and a good guy, isn't he? So, yeah. But I don't know, that kind of makes it better, I suppose, because if he was just there clowning, you might get a bit sick of it. But the fact that he's doing a proper part and then just occasionally making you laugh out loud is kind of better, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't want like him to be the kind of Jar Jar Binks of Lethal Weapon movies, if you know what I mean. Just throwing him in there for some to sell some toys, you know, like like Will Ferrell is in the Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back movie, and everyone was like complaining about it, like there was no need for Will Ferrell to be in it because it's good enough without him. I think Chris Rock brings more to Lethal Weapon 4 than like Jar Jar Binks does to Star Wars or Will Ferrell does to Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
I am aware of the phenomenon of Jar Jar Binks and it kind of being something
I'm so sorry.
Refer to as a bit of a missed step, but I can't picture. I've just heard people refer to Jar Jar Binks. I couldn't tell you what it looks like. I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you need to now.
I'm picturing like also, not human.
Also, I don't know how to describe him. Because he's
So not human. Star Wars is some humans, some aliens, isn't it? So not human.
Yeah.
And people might say, oh yeah, that's obvious, but some of the humans have got weird names.
Yeah. This is Jar Jar Binks here. Okay.
All right.
So
like a dinosaur, basically.
Yeah, there you go. This is Rockwell explaining Star Trek characters because he hasn't seen it. But yes, and he had this kind of weird voice. Let me play a little bit of Jar Jar Binks' voice for you. And
they're going to be loving this, the Star Wars fans, Wars action. The worst bit of Star Wars in history.
Yeah. Hi, Ross Evans. Hope you're all well.
Hey, wait. Oh, muy, muy, I love you. You
almost got us killed.
Right, so that's just a little clip of Jar Jar Binks' voice, right? And then yes, and he was a liability, right? He's a terrible character. He gets in the way. There's no point to him, really. And he keeps messing stuff up. And he's a bit like comic relief in that. But then people were going mad to say that it was racist, right? Because Jar Jar Binks was played like, his ears were supposed to look like dreadlocks. And he was played by a black guy, the only kind of black guy other than Lando Calrissian in the Star Wars universe. And he's a dick. Just so, yeah. But he was a massive, like, I think the prime example of throwing someone in a movie to sell toys, you know. Yeah. Is that the longest you've ever watched any Star Wars?
that I'm aware of, I think.
Ah, I just thought of a new game of like, because do you know, like, if I showed you any Star Wars character, would you know who they are? So if I showed you Darth Vader, you know who Darth Vader is.
Yeah.
You'd know Yoda, you'd know Han Solo.
Han Solo's Harrison Ford, yeah. Yoda is the little green one with pointy ears, isn't it?
Yeah. So if I showed you, without you looking at the names of things, right?
Yeah.
So if you could explain like this person, what they look like, and maybe people could guess the name of the character.
So his eyes look a little bit like the Saw man. And then he's got like a long, long face. It looks like a robotic version of a Scream mask.
Oh, that's a good, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. If anyone wishes to have a guess at who Rockle is describing from the Star Wars universe, I won't send you a prize because none of you will get back to me anyway. I really think you'd, because you've got Disney Plus, haven't you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know we talk about this a lot, but I think you should watch it now.
What, all of them?
No, just watch the, episode 4, the first Star Wars movie. I think you right. would like it, but I think you also like not be telling people you haven't watched it.
Yeah. It upsets people. Yeah. No, it doesn't upset people. It makes people like quizzical and sort of intrigued as to why. But then it's not just Star Wars. It's just, I think Star Wars is maybe the poster boy of that type of thing that just generally has never interested me. Like, there's a lot of other sort of sci-fi related things that I've probably not seen.
Yeah, I know. Like, you were not up for watching Game of Thrones. I think it was all dragons and shit.
Yeah, that's not just the dragons though. That was another thing that's kind of, it's come out in more recent years, that before you know it, you're so far behind with it that it just becomes a bit daunting.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You just think, I'm just never going to get through that. You know, you're going to start watching it and then not get round to it. So maybe in years to come, but then there'll be something else by then.
I'm the same with The Walking Dead. I think I'm too far behind to actually start getting into it now.
Yeah, because I suggested that to Emma and then looked at how many there were and then was like, oh, maybe not.
I'm struggling at the moment for a series to watch now. I finished Top Boy. I don't know what's next.
Oh, yeah. See, I've Better Call Saul sort of final season is out soon. That'll be one that I watch because I've kind of watched that as it's along. So
okay.
I can look forward to coming out and then watch it. I've been, people have recommended Succession to me a lot.
Yeah.
And I've not seen any of that yet. And that's like 3 seasons in already, yes, isn't it? Ozark, I think I'd like, but that's 4 in now. And
I fell out with Ozark. I felt like I watched about 5 or 6 episodes of Succession and I thought, I think I could find better. You know, yeah. I think that's the problem with having so much choice, is you always think you're going to find something else. So, and then you end up watching The Fucking Bubble. Yeah, because there's a lot on Disney Plus, like Dropout and Dope Sick and stuff. And I just think, oh, should I give it a go? And if anything, I want to move away from TV. I want to read more books.
Yeah, you know, I've very slowly but surely carried on watching Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was a good recommendation. And quite a lot of the time, I'll watch it after we've done this, because by the time I finish this, it's later than I would normally be, like having something to eat. And Emma might go to bed and I'll kind of stick
Atlanta. Sure.
There was a couple, I'm only a few episodes in. There was a couple of really good, like back to back, I suppose what you would call them, like high concept episodes, where one that followed his girlfriend around on the day that she was going to fail the drugs test.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And then the one where Paperboy was on that chat show.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they were really good and like really just out of nowhere, because obviously I'd started to watch it by then and I thought, okay, I kind of know what this is going to be. And then all of a sudden, just had these 2 episodes that were just like completely unique.
Yeah. There's an episode in the second series where Paperboy's mate, the stoner guy, is it Darnell, goes to pick up a piano, right? And it's just mad. Right. And there's like a crazy like white guy. I can't remember the name of him, but the crazy white guy is Donald Glover, right? You won't think that at all. I didn't know that until he turned up. Like
Eddie Murphy style makeup.
Yeah. Like a white chick's kind of go. Yeah. And it's amazing.
Yo, you don't want to get divorced, man. This shit is no joke, man. I had to go through a custody fight for my kids just to see my kids, man. That shit's fucked up, man. First of all, you don't want to be a man in family court. And you don't want to be a black man in any court. Yeah, even the black judge comes to work with his lawyer. And he keeps his robe on all day. And writes judge on the back. Just in case somebody thinks it's a nigga with a cape. Is that a nigga with a cape? Nope, just a judge. Yo, man, I was in court. That shit was scary, man. Like, to not know if you're gonna be able to fucking see your kids. You know? And, you know, when I got divorced, I wanted it to be smooth, you know? So, you know, I bought a house around the corner, okay? Like fucking quarter of a mile, like right around the fucking corner. Damn near the same house, okay? But wasn't enough, man. I went in there, that judge was like, Mr. Rock, I need to see pictures of the beds in the bedroom to make sure the children have a place to sleep. So, what, you think I got a manger? What? Like, I got a $1 million house with no beds? Okay, so showed him the picture, right? But that wasn't enough. Then the judge was like, Mr. Rock, I need to see pictures of the refrigerator and the food inside to make sure the children have enough to eat. I'm like, what have you heard about me? I'm Chris Rock, not Chris Brown. Yo, man. Yo, fellas, I hope none of you get divorced. I'm telling you right now, if you ever do anything good for your kids, take a picture of that shit. If you hug them, take a picture. If you feed them, take a picture. Because you never know when you might need receipts of love.
Right, so that is from Tambourine of Chris Rock being really open about his divorce and telling kind of true stories about him cheated on his wife with three different women and then kind of dealing with the fallout from it and kind of making it funny and serious at the same time. And I think it's incredibly brave to monetize that. you know. And at what point during your divorce do you go, do you know what, this could make a good 10-minute bit of my special?
It is brave because he doesn't need to do that either, does he? He could just do another, Bigger and Blacker or another Never Scared, where he just stands up there and sort of makes sweeping generalizations about kind of his culture and background, and he'd sell it out everywhere, wouldn't he? So to do it is good.
That episode of The Simpsons where Homer tries to watch black comedians. And it's like, when white people drive their car, like, doo-doo-doo, and then when black people drive their car, like, he could go out and do that and he'd be the best at it, wouldn't he? And then, to kind of bring his life into it, I think it's really good. And, it's kind of a bit more autobiographical, isn't it? And obviously, I feel sorry for his wife during this, and obviously his kids and stuff. But I think to go out and talk about it, I don't know if it's brave or stupid. What do you think?
I suppose proof of the pudding is in the eating. I suppose if it was like badly received and it sort of like lost him fans, it would have been stupid. But I don't think it did. It was kind of quite well received. I think I've only watched that once. Yeah. So that's again, like, we always talk about watching new things, but I now Count Tambourine is the thing that I'm very likely to go through there and stick on tonight because it's late. I'm sort of just going to be sort of winding down before bed. And sometimes I just think to myself, I don't want to watch something that I'm then going to end up kind of switching off. So that's why I end up the same thing.
What stand-up special have you seen the most out of anyone?
I don't know for sure, but I would say that if you prefer a milder comedian, ask for one. Stuart Lee is there.
Yeah. I like when I think about it, it probably is. My ones are probably a bit broader than that. Like, I like Gervais's Animals and Gervais's Politics. I think I've watched them more than anything else. But then I think Bigger and Blacker is probably up there.
Any of the Chris Rock ones, because I was lucky enough a few years ago when we had proper Sky. They were on Paramount or something, and I managed to see they were on and record them. So I had them at the click of a button whenever I wanted them.
Yeah.
So probably those are up there.
Eddie Izzard's Dressed to Kill, I think I've seen a million times. I think that's probably what I've seen the most.
I reckon there's probably a few Billy Connolly ones that I would have seen just due to the just due to how long ago I first saw.
I always refer to my DVDs. I think they're the ones I've watched the most. But then James Acaster's Repertoire, I've probably watched that quite a few times on Netflix. I don't really go back to. I like watching them in clips rather than watching the whole show. But then obviously you miss out on like the recall jokes and you miss out on different stuff, I think, when you watch just clips of it. But I think Chappelle and Chris Rock really lend themselves to kind of 5-10 minute bits rather than a two-hour show per se.
Now there's a lot of beefs. You got a lot of beefs. A lot of the rappers are separated. You can't have 50. Ain't nowhere near Ja Rule. You know, you can't have Jay-Z near Nas. Nobody got no beef with Eminem. Ain't no rapper popping nothing without Eminem. Ain't nobody saying nothing. I'm not even gonna say nothing bad about Eminem. Cause way too much stuff rhymes with rock, right? But Eminem don't even like his own mama. So Lord knows what he'll say about your black ass, okay? And Eminem's a white rapper. So his record's gonna be on every station, the country station, the talk station. The black rapper's just on Hot 97. Now you gotta watch where you sit, everybody. Can't sit 50 then Ja Rule. You can't sit Jay-Z then Nas. Everybody gotta watch out for. You got the Olsen twins over there. So then you gotta put R. Kelly way up there.
So that is, I'm not even sure what a show's is. Is it MTV Awards?
Yeah, I think it's MTV Awards. Yeah,
the VMAs,
There's a longer version of it somewhere that's like labeled as MTV Awards, but then that was the sort of the little kind of snappier bit in it.
When he explains about, like, you never had, like, artists gunning down each other, like, in the olden days. He didn't get Smokey Robinson shooting down the Temptations? Like, Sorry, that's a terrible impression. but he lends himself very well. I think he's good in those opening monologues. I think he's good at the Oscars, and obviously he wasn't doing the monologue for the Oscars, but I think they just gave him a bit of time to do it. But the monologue he did for the VMAs, I think, is excellent. And it's great that rappers are, I think, respect Chris Rock for his honesty and the way he is, that they're willing to laugh along with like that, not get upset.
He's good when he, because in that tambourine clip, he kind of brings Chris Brown into it. He's obviously, he's well up on his sort of the kind of references that people are going to like. So, yeah. Mm. Hip hop, rap, sports, you know, there's a lot of, he'll make a lot of references to, I'm sure he's done his fair share of OJ.
Yeah.
Over the years.
That's one thing I really liked about, have you seen it? OJ Simpson's video the last week?
No.
Okay, so I'll see if I can find
Does OJ Simpson still like put himself out there? Does he still?
It's on Instagram or something like that, Twitter, I don't know.
Question I've been getting is Will Smith and Chris Rock. Hey, look. It was unfortunate. I think Will was wrong. Look, I understood the feeling. Now, in my life, I've been through a lot of crap, and I was raising two young kids, and every comedian in the country had an OJ routine, and don't think I wouldn't want to be slapped a couple of those guys, but you got to accept it's humor, and I didn't even think that was all that egregious. I thought it was a semi-unfunny joke, but I don't know. I don't get it. I know this. After what happened to me in Las Vegas, if I would have done that in front of a billion people watching around the world, they would have given me life without. I'm just saying. Hey, take care.
Absolutely brilliant. And I've just realized I have exactly the same opinion of the event as OJ Simpson.
Need to get that on a t-shirt.
On that t-shirt, would it say OJ was right?
OJ Simpson, there is a big change between what he did allegedly. Also, really.
Yeah, definitely.
he now doesn't even say bitch slapped. He says be slapped.
Yeah.
Is he that cautious? Is he that cautious that he's going to get put back in prison? So he just doesn't even say bitch.
Yeah, but then like, who's asking him to weigh in on this?
It looked like a barman.
Yeah. In that tropical islands place in Berlin. Yeah. But then like, surely he knows it's in bad taste him having an opinion on anything of that kind of nature or just anything in general. But I suppose like he has been kind of joked about more than any other person, maybe him and Michael Jackson.
So your challenge now then ahead of the next time we do this is to wait for the next person to ask you about the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing and to say, well, I'm a big follower in OJ Simpson's view on it.
I've been looking up what OJ Simpson had to say about it, like I do with most events. Mm-hmm.
subscribe to us at youtubereviewpodcast.blogspot.com or see us on Twitter at RockleRussell1.